So, welcome to the Patreon Q&A for April 2023 for Gonna Hate PC. As always, you are free to join the stage and ask whatever you like. You can use the request to speak feature in Discord, and we will call on you in the order that the request is received. Had a very eventful month. We took on probably too many things for April Fools. We got them more or less ready in time. Not as robust of a testing cycle as we would normally prefer, which is unfortunate. We should probably avoid it in the future, but with a hard deadline and as deep as we already were in, it was what it was. Definitely lessons learned.
There will I think Harry could have tested more.
Sure.
Yep. Joel especially could have tested more.
Oh man, Joel is the worst.
As far as updates go, we know there's a few issues. Some of the more glaring ones will get hot fixed, most likely within a few days. And after that, we're back to the regular content cycle where we put our heads down and work on something for a while and then release it when it's ready. You guys know the drill. If you've been with the project for more than a couple months, you know that we do a major update about once a month. Sometimes we do minor updates in between when we've got enough momentum and things ready to go in. And yeah, just plugging away, trying to get the roadmap done. Let's go ahead and get vinyl on here.
Vinyl?
The best kind of music.
Thank you. I was just wondering if there are any plans for more like passive voice lines for the crew, either like random conversations or like anything else like that, just so that it's a less quiet when you're just driving around.
We've thought about it. It kind of depends how much development time we have for in like the polish stage for stuff like that. Yeah, I guess it remains to be seen. I can't really give a yes or no for that.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Yep. Definitely talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, we like the idea of it. We played Bad Company 2 and whatever other stuff that has chatter. It would be neat. It just has to be done carefully. Like,
yeah,
you can't have the same lines repeating all the time. We gotta try to make sure the voice actors are consistent, likely, so we'd have to like track down the same people. I don't know. It's not quite an easy job, but it could be done if we wanted to.
Yeah, well, cool. Thank you.
Yep. Also, I like your vinyl scratch art.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the question. Next up is Toby Silverstone.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
So, finally got around to testing the update. Absolutely loving it. I'm sure most people are, apart from the odd little bug.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a couple of link questions to obviously the latest update. First one being that we've already seen and had a few answers about damage model of aircraft. So I guess the most logical question next is weapon. Are we going to see variants in weaponry? And if so, are we going to see stuff that basically is a FU to the player, like, you know, long-range ATGMs?
Yeah, there's already stuff in the project for rockets and guided missiles from planes. We just didn't have them deploy during the April Fool's missions. We decided to go with bombs for now. Those all exist in the code, and we have a whole array of models for different kinds of plane-carried munitions. They will certainly make an appearance in the future.
Okay. And then linked to that, obviously, is how limited or excessively available are you expecting stuff like the aircraft and the helicopter assets to be now that they're, you know, they're at least in the preliminary stage in the game?
It will most likely depend on campaign mechanics, like whether your side is prepared to use air power in that area. Certain game mechanics that we have yet to fully explain, but we have some fairly detailed plans about them, and we'll definitely reveal more in the future.
Okay, cool. Well, for now, that's everything for me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. All right. Next up, we got Steggy.
Hello there.
Hey.
Glad to be here. Glad to see you guys. So my first question is, will there be any kind of escalation of conflict within the campaign? And I mean, as in, as the conflict goes on, more and more heavy weapons or more advanced tanks will come to bear?
It's possible. There's already some progression in the placeholder campaign. For example, you won't see a T-72 M1 in the first several missions, even if the Pact side has full strength, because they're just mm-hmm. not unlocked until later. Same for the M1 IP. There's it's possible that the mechanics like that will make it into the real full campaign. I guess we'll find out.
All right. So second question. Were there any unique challenges that were had during the programming and implementation of the Cobra helicopters, or just helicopters in general?
Yeah, there were challenges with every feature that we worked on for April Fools. We actually we planned it in advance and made an optimistic assessment that we could get it all done in a month. And then, as usual with development, we encountered problems. And then we were scrambling pretty hard at the end. It's not something we want to do as a pattern. But as far as helicopters go, there were interesting challenges with that. One of our contractors, a pretty skilled coder, worked on those. He gave us updates. He did a really good job, actually, all things considered. Like, it's all fully physics-based flight. It has its own pilot AI that keeps the helicopter moving in the right direction and adjusts to where it needs to go and what it needs to aim at. So I can't really give you specifics on what challenges were involved in that, because mostly he just gave us updates when things were moving along. It's one of my favorite features of this update, just watching the way they fly and the way that they target stuff.
Yeah, it's like air. It's a whole new dimension to the game.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, before I go and leave it to somebody else, I do love how they're implemented. Like, the contractor who did the helicopters clearly knew his stuff, or at least was instructed so, because you can see the Cobras really hugging tree cover, like the hunter-killer strategy NATO helicopters often used. Well, or plan to use, at least.
Yeah, they have some terrain awareness as far as they try to maintain a height above ground. I think the planes keep to above sea level altitude for the most part, because they have lots of room to maneuver up there, but the helicopters have a relative height, so it works out pretty well.
Alrighty, nice. That's all for now. Thank you.
Yeah, this during the testing of the helicopter, I actually dropped it into the mission Morning Misery, where there's the two BRDMs that appear up front, and then the big force comes up over the left hill. That Cobra just flew around, wrecking everything. It's pretty wild.
Gotta get it first, or it'll get you.
All right, let's hear from Gaff.
Hello, folks.
Hey.
This time I don't have prepared my text with Google Translate, so I hope I don't mess up too much.
Okay.
It's a very simple question, maybe not too much appropriate for this Q&A, but I just noticed it a few hours ago, so I'm just trying to ask you. It's about the IR projector of the BMP2. I noticed on a night mission on the Grafenwöhr range, It's extremely effective, and just in comparison to the projector of the T72. And as far as I know, it shouldn't be so much effective in illuminating stuff, even within 800 meters, because if I'm not mistaken, it should have about half the intensities in candelas in respect to the projector used on tanks like the T72.
Yes.
It's intended to be so effective, or it's just something that must be fixed?
Well, so I think what's going on, I do remember setting the intensity of that light much lower than the T72 and the range as well, because it, as you said, it's a smaller light. I think what's happening is the night vision sight of the BMP-2 is actually more, it amplifies better than the one on the T72. So you see a brighter result.
I was expecting something like that, but I just wanted to be sure because the sight of the BMP2, of course, is much more modern than that one on the T72. Okay, well, fair enough, and I'm satisfied. And by the way, the update is fantastic.
Oh, thank
So,
you.
thank you very much for your effort, guys.
Yeah, thanks for your questions. All right. Stage is open. So, in the meantime, what would you guys say is your favorite part of the update?
You're asking us or patrons?
You.
Us. Good question. I think the cast is really cool, honestly. It's still preliminary, but I think I got really flustered by the first bomb dropping near me.
Yeah. Bomb damage needs some attention, I think, still, but it's pretty effective right now. Harry, what about you?
I don't like the update. I liked it better before. I like it better. I liked Josh's Unnamed Tank game the best. But probably I think the helicopter flying around and doing stuff is really interesting. It's like a bit of a it's a bit of a glimpse into like how the game's gonna be further down the line.
Yeah, I think you were saying something the other day about how the completeness or like the dynamics of the battlefield seem way cooler now that there's like other stuff, other assets in place.
Yeah, I was playing it and it felt a little bit more like it felt a little bit more like playing armor or something. Like there's just more stuff going on. And I
Yeah.
think there's still a fair way to go, but like
Yeah.
it's a really nice step in the right direction.
Feels a bit more fleshed out now too with German voices. Now that I can go between US actually doing their call-outs and Germans doing a limited form of their call-outs, but it actually feels like there are living people inside of the opposite side,
Oh
rather.
yeah, I look forward to playing all the existing missions with the German voices working now, because that was a huge boost to effectiveness for the US tanks, actually having somebody start yelling when you see a target. Okay, looks like Steggy's back up.
Hello there. So one question I have. Do the planes, like the CAS planes, actually have different stats, so to speak? Like, do they like fly over at different speeds, drop different payloads, that sort of stuff?
They have individual stats, but I think most of them are set pretty similarly right now.
I see. So, question, and I missed the stream, so I don't know. Have you actually tried shooting down one of the CAS planes with one of the BMPs?
Keep trying, you'll hit it, man.
Go, you can do it, Josh. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not gonna work, but It'd be fun to try, you know.
Wait, do the cast planes have a damage model yet or not?
No, they don't. There's currently no way to shoot down casts.
Right, yeah. So they're more like precise artillery with no real danger of being shot down. Which will change when AA gets added, which will be interesting.
Yeah, once we add a counter to the planes, it remains to be seen whether the player will be able to control an aircraft, but at least when they exist in the world, there will be some pushback against planes.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, true. Especially with like things like the VAT, the Gepard, or any AA vehicle you'd introduce, or just emplacements as well. Like, it's gonna be interesting, and it's gonna add a new dimension to the game, which makes the conflict to me feel more complete and feel more real, which is again accentuated as well by the German voice lines. Which, to be fair, now that I played a few more of the missions, my East German gameplay has been given a huge boost, because now I can quickly glance over the subtitles and see if one of my guys calls out their targets and then look for them. That's a really good quality of life improvement, and also equals the footing a bit more when equal attention both. And that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no longer feels like a game where the whole point was to play American tanks and then the East Germans are an afterthought.
Yeah, exactly. Because that'll especially be true once Soviets get at it. It's gonna be one giant bloodbath, so to speak.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna give it away to someone else. Right now.
Yeah. Thanks for your question.
I don't know what he's talking about. American bias has always been in the game.
True.
Just saying.
All right. We have Toby Silverstone.
Hi, guys. So, question that just came to mind while I was listening to everyone else. Especially to do with the helicopters, was where I noticed it most. So this might be just a bug or a fact that it's an early implementation, but can you explain how the actual crew damage works? Because obviously it's very obvious how the vehicle damage works. You know, it's, you know, you hit a component, it does a certain amount of damage, that component then affects other components, etc., etc. But how does the actual, the crew themselves work? Do they have a hit point system? Are they, you know, is it you hit the chest and they're dead? Is it hit the head and they're dead? Or is it more complex than that?
The crew in the helicopters work the same way they do in the tanks. They have different body parts are different consequences. So if you hit central nervous system, it's an instant kill. Heart is an instant kill. And then the others, it depends how badly you hit them, essentially. There's a certain tolerance for damage, but not very much. You can wound them, or you can just kill them outright if you get good solid center mass shot.
Because I bring it up, because that's exactly what, at least according to the damage report I got, so I'm guessing at least in my particular instance it was probably a bug, because it said, you know, penetrated chest with, I think, shrapnel from the high explosive round, and the paint healers just flew on the guy basically not bleeding at all.
Well, keep in mind, it's not necessarily an instant kill. Like I said, it does damage and it can wound them, but it depends how much they get hit, how much energy in the fragment and stuff like that.
Good point. Did not think about that. So what you're basically saying is that this is probably the most detailed crew modeling in a game of its kind that's currently available.
I haven't played all of them, but it's possible.
Just trying to help you guys out with a bit of advertising there. I'll turn over the stage now.
Thanks for your question. We tried not to overstate where we can. I think it's usually better to show instead of tell. Although we haven't really made much of a marketing push, come to think of it. The crew damage, there is a little bit missing from it, in my opinion. I envisioned having a bleed out system and a first aid mechanic at some point. I still think that's something I want to try to add later on, if we get a moment.
I think it'll a lot of that will be more campaign focused as well. If anyone's played like Mountain Blade, a lot of the first aid stuff is not so much what happens in the mission, but what happens outside the mission. Like a high first aid skill in Mountain Blade means if your guy quote unquote dies, he might get knocked out instead of just dying straight away, and then his rate of being ready again is increased if you've got a better, you know, first aid or whatever.
Yeah.
Or more people to attend to him or something.
We have some room to fudge it as well with the critically wounded mechanic, because crew are considered knocked out as soon as they're unable to fight, but they don't have to be dead to be knocked out. You can get a kill, a crew kill on a tank where the crew are all technically still alive, but they're just incapacitated. So if that happens, it would be pretty easy to hand wave the medevac and the recovery afterward. Okay, it looks like Nico is next.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello. Congrats on the patch. And speaking of show don't tell, we've all seen the activity on the GitHub feed for people at CAS and MBT. How many hours did you sleep this week?
Not enough.
Yeah.
Certainly not enough. There were some errors made in estimation for how long it would take to do the stuff for April Fools. I think I have pretty strong responsibility for that, because I'm perpetually optimistic when it comes to estimating. But we were kind of in the thick of it already, and we said, fuck it, let's just try to see it through. And yeah, stuff made it into the patch, but it was not a great time. And we don't want to do that whole rigmarole again.
Okay. Or at least limit it.
I don't know if you already answered that, but who had the idea of the colored numbers for the cheat mode? Like, who is responsible for that?
Who? I don't remember who did that.
Yeah, not sure.
Did it? Laura did it.
No, no.
Well, we know who did it, but Laura who had the original idea.
I think it was like one of those things where it's like, oh, it'd be funny if we did this, and then another person goes, oh, actually, what about this? And it's like, it just boosted into like the most ridiculous version.
We've been riffing on the April Fool's idea back and forth for at least the last 2 months, and it's just kind of grown around this core bit.
Yeah. We kind of had two threads going on for April Fool's, like, as far as trains of thought, right? The one being, oh, we usually introduce a new vehicle or a new mechanic. What should we do? We have these things that are almost ready. And then the other one being, oh, this damage feedback thing happened recently and people are making noise about it. Wouldn't it be funny if we did that for April Fool's? And then we ended up doing all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Harry, that screenshot that you dropped, do you have permissions to put it in Patron's voice chat channel just above this?
Do I have permissions?
Yeah, like if you go to the Patron's voice chat channel, are you allowed to post there?
Yeah, he's a team.
Oh, I thought it was a leak for the stream. I don't know.
It is. They get attached to the Patreon post afterward, though, so it's like the same access. Unless you don't want to have it be...
This is a Tibetan mandala, man. This is gonna just blow away in the wind when this is over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you posted it, it could be saved. So anyway,
there's your leak, people who are on the chat right now.
Anyway, have a nap, have a sleep or something after that.
Oh yeah, of course. I think I'm gonna take a day off.
You can't tell me what to do. But yeah, I'm going to do that.
I can try. Anyway, see ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Next up is Orcbuster.
Yay? Nay? Yay. There we go. Hey. Oh, no.
Testing.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Sorry. First time here on the Q&A, and I just want to say thank you for making such a great game.
Thank you for your support.
No. I was curious. One of the major upcoming changes to gameplay dynamics will be implementation of infantry. How do you envision them to be implemented? Will they have freedom of movement similar to vehicles, or will they limited to operating in certain environments, such as or terrain features like woods and villages, to simplify implementation, so to speak? And just to extend on that question, I guess I was wondering what sort of expectations we should have regarding how they are animated, prone position, setting up positions, and so forth. Realize all of this, of course, might be working project and have not been decided yet. So. Just figured I should ask.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we're looking at most of those things as possibilities. The infantry mechanics and animations and controls—they're all still heavily work in progress. We've definitely determined that they'll be able to debark from vehicles and move to objectives. We have. Some goals about having emplacements and prepared positions. We'll see how that goes. And as far as animations and stuff, we're trying to make it reasonably detailed, but obviously it's not an infantry-centric game, so there's going to be some corners cut, probably.
Yeah, no, I figured the obvious, or perhaps the closest comparison here might be DCS and how that handles stuff. Probably a little bit more detailed, but yeah, I get that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
Man, Harry is just dropping leaks.
Man, leakier than a sieve. Come in here, man.
Sieve?
Sieve?
It's one of those weird words. It's like a trap. If you read it, you're like, oh, neat. And then it's wrong.
Damn it. We got a question in the chat for someone whose mic doesn't work.
Oh, about the optimization. Yeah, we always take opportunities to go for optimization. And the ones that we made in the last two patches are very small. There's a larger optimization pass that we have in the works, but it needs some tuning still. It's a modification of the way the physics system works for armor. Wow, Harry. This is a lot of stuff.
No chill from Harry today.
Yeah, several...
It's April Fool's, man.
As you guys can see from the screenshots, there's some good stuff in the works.
It's fine by us. Usually we just wait and neg them until the end of the chat and then throw down one picture, but...
Oh, shit, it's April 2nd. All right, sorry.
Oh, yeah, the leaks have to stop now.
Yeah, man, come on. Joe the Pirate, hello.
Hello. So, question that came up, because I noticed it during the fourth mission, do Cobras have that flinch mechanic that the ATGM gunners
yes,
do?
Yes, they absolutely do.
Okay, I was trying to figure out if I was imagining things or if that was real.
No, yeah, as soon as you send incoming fire close to the helicopter, the pilot will go, oh shit, and do evasive maneuver before returning to targeting mode.
Yeah, that has been really helpful for slinging sabos when they're trying to tow me.
Yeah.
And just while I'm here, one kind of campaign future question. How much is it going to be able to, like, screw the player over? Like, let's say you're doing really good, but, you know, the unit 100 kilometers to your south, the game decides, now they screwed up, and now your left flank is absolutely being overrun.
That's likely something that could happen. As far as how bad or what the consequences are, that remains to be seen. Some of that stuff is still in preliminary design and tuning phase before we actually even start implementing it in the game.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. To me, that just seems like a really interesting way to keep it more dynamic than just players doing good, therefore. So, I look forward to see what that ends up being.
Me too.
Thanks.
Next up is Comrade Boris.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So I have a question regarding pretty much all the models used in the game. Are they all photo scanned, or do you make some of them by hand?
None of them in the game are photo scanned. They're all made by hand based on photo scans.
Ah, okay. I see. That was pretty much my question.
It's very...
If we tried to put photo scans in the game, it just wouldn't work. Like, if you want to rotate a wheel that's got, like, a shadow on it, it's not going to work. And if you look at it, go on Sketchfab or something and look for scans of stuff, and it's, like, it's a total mess. Like, you wouldn't be able to animate anything. Or
yeah, okay. I see. All right, thanks for the answer.
Thanks for the question.
Yeah, raw photo scan models, they're all like bumpy and weird and stuff. They got holes in them. They look good in staged screenshots from like specific angles, but it would never work as a game model in a million years.
A billion vertices.
Yeah, it's just...
It's also like we can use stuff that's like there's some cases where we'll use a bit of a scan that's like not fully resolved, but it's enough to sort of get most of the things in the right place, and then you can sort of fill in the gaps. And using any of those in games would just be hell. Like, I do a lot of scanning with a GoPro, and none of them are particularly high resolution, but all of the basic dimensions are there, so it's pretty easy.
Yep. Next up is Dread.
Hello, hi, greetings.
Hey.
What's up? So I played the patch like immediately after it came out. It was like 11 my time, and it was pretty fun. And I was shooting at one of the Bradleys, and I noticed as I fired at it, its gun went off, its autocannon, and it started shooting in the completely opposite direction of me. I was wondering, if you shoot at it, and I guess ammunition explodes inside the vehicle, will it shoot out whatever's in the breach or whatever?
No, that's not a mechanic in the game right now.
So I guess it was just a bug or something.
I don't even know if I would say it's a bug. I don't know what it saw or what it was thinking it was doing.
Okay. Well, I have it recorded because I wanted to see what could have happened there. It was very weird because it wasn't even aiming at me. I was shooting at from the side, and I decided to just shoot out in a straight line and then burn up. It was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you what happened. I'd have to see.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Next up, we have Doobie.
Hello.
Hey.
Sick patch, by the way.
Thank you.
I had a quick question for Curiosity and then something about game development. I'm wondering, this modification of the Cobra with the toe, does this early version of it have a toe sight for the pilot or the gunner?
I don't actually recall.
It has the weird moving arm thing for the gunner. I think it's got the twin armament chin gun thing, and I think the toe side is, I'm guessing it's only the gunner. It's one of the first iterations, so you know.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you also mentioned that the BMP2 wasn't quite complete yet. What are some things you wanted to flesh out further with it?
It's missing its anti-aircraft sight, which goes up further to follow the gun all the way up. Because right now the gunner's main sight only has a certain amount of elevation, and then if you bring the gun up further, it just can't follow.
So that would be like a backup sight type thing that you toggle through a C and then you can look up higher?
It's kind of got a reverse elevation thing going on. The range scales go down instead of up, and the sight like automatically compensates for super elevation. It's kind of weird, but it serves as the commander's backup gunnery site and the anti-aircraft site. And then also there is shell casing ejection. That's not implemented right now, but it should be. Same thing for the Bradley, actually. I might be able to do them both at the same time. Small details like that. There's a couple things missing.
Yeah, and then there's the reload animation for the Under Armour ATGM thing.
Yeah, that animation actually exists in the model, but it's not hooked up to anything yet. There's a little bit of code work that we still need to do to support interrupting weapons with animation. That's also true for the Bradley. The Bradley's reload should be much longer and more involved. The turret should be fixed in a certain position, the gun should be up, and then someone would have to pop out the air guard hatch on the back and actually shove the new tow tubes into the launcher.
That actually brings up another question. Once that's implemented, would it be a queue menu thing that you request to happen, or would it just automatically go into the reload?
It'll be manual. We wouldn't want to interrupt you in a dire situation. If not, like, hold on, we got to reload your tow for you. Park there for a minute and hope you don't die.
All right, thanks for the answers. Have a good rest after this grind you just went through.
Yeah, thank you. All right, looks like we've got some interesting leaks in the other channel. Harry is popping off today.
Well, it's a cool car. It's the dream car right there.
Volkswagen.
And we've got Protag abusing his mod privileges to post a response. It's good stuff. We've got, 13 minutes left?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the BMP, it's got interesting complications to it, just like every vehicle does. With every vehicle we add, we further refine the code base to support new stuff, and eventually we will hopefully run out of new and unseen features that we need to support. One thing that I forgot to mention about BMP2 is that it's dual feed cannon. It works differently from the one in the Bradley. The Bradley loads around into the breech like a traditional gun, and only after you fire what's loaded can you switch ammo types. The BMP fires from open bolt, and it can actually feed from either direction. It's pretty wild. So what that means is you instantly get the next round that you selected. That is not currently implemented. I didn't have time to extend the dual feed code to allow open bolt option. That's going to have to happen later.
So what you're saying is Bradley is still second to none.
It's debatable. I mean, have you seen how the BMP shreds that thing?
I have.
The fun thing about the Bradley and the BMP is they can absolutely eat each other. That's whoever sees and shoots first is going to win that one.
It's a very fun vehicle. Glad we got it in.
Yeah. Next up is Orc Buster.
Hey, back again. Just listening to this discussion, recalled one thing, and that is, how insane is the rate of fire on the Martyr going to be?
I can't recall what the rate of fire is on the Martyr. Do you remember?
I think it's something ridiculous, like 1,000 rounds per second, basically MG3 for 20mm.
You mean
1,000
per
rounds
minute.
Per second?
Surely,
per minute. Yeah, 1,000 rounds per minute. Yeah, sorry.
Would be.
Yeah, what's the caliber? 20mm?
Yeah, basically. Basically, you basically shoot it in semi-action most of the time, but you can go full auto, and then it's basically 10 rounds per click.
That sounds pretty cool. I can't wait for that to be in.
Yeah. Sorry, wanted to chime in on that.
No, yeah, of course. Toby Silverstone.
Hey guys, so seeing as it looks like we're getting to the end, I thought I'd ask a couple of, not simple, but at least hopefully simple to answer questions. Firstly, one thing that's being brought up a lot in discussions over the last few weeks, and especially not today, and you know, technically my time, all today, but I think your time yesterday and today, stuff like the truck, as you said in your stream, you know, you were talking about how guys were hitting, or whoever was hitting the trucks, and they were like, oh, what, you know, why are the trucks on the line? They're invincible. Is there some sort of, is there going to be some sort of damage model path on specialty stuff like the trucks, where it does appear that the rounds are sort of hitting and doing very little damage? Given the fact that the truck itself obviously has very little to actually damage on it, I can understand why it appears that you're doing very little to it, but in your view, are the trucks damage models complete?
If you look at the roadmap, there's enhanced visual damage on one of the later steps. That's where we're going to explore ways that we can properly convey what's going on light targets like that.
Okay, and I take it that would also then enhance the hard targets where you'd see, you know, non-penetrative rounds with some sort of, like, probably not a physical thing, but like a sticker, I think, is the best decal term I can come up with. The one, yeah, thank you, a decal.
Yeah, we've got some plans for that. We'll definitely, by the time the game hits 1.0, we want to have visual feedback for your hits on targets and possibly some cosmetic damage. So, yeah, that's all being looked into.
Okay, and then obviously related to both that question and my previous question I asked, especially the truck showing it most, you know, when a crew member is killed, and especially the driver, the vehicle is sort of just sent rocketing away because, you know, maybe their foot's got caught on the pedal or whatever, are we going to see that more in stuff like the M1 and other vehicles, or are they, I'll be honest, I don't know how those vehicles operate in terms of reality, so like, are we less likely to see vehicles just, you know, drive on their own in the more armored stuff, or are you only really going to see that on like the trucks and cars and things?
So right now the driver responses are, I think they're identical for every type of vehicle. What's happening is a lot of missions have trucks in kind of hilly areas and they're on the move. And if you kill the driver without causing any damage to the drivetrain, there's nothing to stop the truck from coasting until it hits like flat ground, so the trucks will just kind of free roll down hills and even pick up speed because the driver's no longer moderating that. In the tanks, the same thing applies, but usually the tanks are on more undulating terrain, or they are just heavier and get bogged down easier when there's not active throttle being maintained. So you'd very rarely see runaway tanks. You still do see it. Like, I'm sure you've seen, like, smoking or burning T-55s rolling away or whatever. But it's not as dramatic.
Sorry, I interrupted.
It's not as dramatic as the trucks usually, just because of the circumstances of the mission layout or... usually the tanks, if you, like, blow something up, cause catastrophic damage, it'll, like, grind to a halt pretty quickly. So, yeah, it's just the same driver is no longer at the controls mechanic, but the trucks look funnier when it happens.
Okay, well, I've got more questions, but people want to ask stuff, and I've asked one, so I'll turn it over to them.
Alrighty. Thank you. I'm going to pull Battle Doge in next.
Hello there, Mike Jerk.
Hey, I hear you.
So, it's a really neat update, and I'm wondering, with the East German voices, did you plan on having there being, like, a recognizable accent difference between the East German and West German voices?
No.
Another
we,
day, nope.
We have okay. one set of voice actors, and we give them a full set of script for East and West German command flow, and we just get it all done in one go. We don't really have the luxury of acquiring a separate voice talent set for each small variation, because there's just too little time and it's too much administrative effort involved.
How okay. many lines are in a voice set, Kavi? You'd remember this most likely, right? Because you were looking at that.
Oh boy.
Like thousands of words, and just trying to yeah. find another voice actor just for an accent, it's kind of like, nah.
One voice set from one actor is probably about 500. Yeah. 500 yeah. lines.
And that's just for the basic Fire Command set. We don't even have like yeah. the incidental stuff in German.
This is with multiple takes and, yeah, the slight variations that we can use.
Yeah. And it's all... It has to be manually processed by several people at several stages. Like, wants to split up the lines properly, the wants to apply radio effect, yeah. wants to catalog, wants to do subtitles. It's hours and hours and hours. Like, Kavi spent several days on just German voices, and then more time on the US as well. I think when I was pulling my all-nighter trying to get BMP and cast stuff working, you were still tagging US voices that day for subtitles, if I remember correctly. It's just like tons and tons of work.
I think Baird was helping as well, and it was yeah, still... like
yeah, they split it up.
Yeah, he got to a point, and then we put him over on mission stuff, and then I had to deal with thousands of US lines.
Yep. Going through every line, writing down the exact phrase that Firehorse screamed in the panic lines.
Well, he said it this way, and I know it's supposed to be tagged like this, but I better make sure it's correct. Yeah, and make them one-to-one, and oh boy, a lot of work.
So the prompt was Gunner, Sabo, anti-tank, panic, but Firehorse said, fuck it, shoot him with Sabo! So write yeah. that down.
That's really fascinating. Yeah. Thanks for answering.
Yep, no problem. Next up is Steggy.
Alrighty, so this one is a question I'm asking. Since this is some people's first Patreon Q&A, I would like you to describe something. So, gameplay-wise, how differently would the Soviets and West Germans play compared to the two factions already in the game? And if you would describe the US and DDR's factions' playstyles, how would you describe them?
I mean, there's kind of two answers. One is in the game currently, they're essentially the same because we don't have different campaign missions for each side yet. So it's kind of the Pact side is just hard mode as opposed to the NATO side. In the future, we are going to make redesigned mission layouts, especially once we've optimized a little and we can increase the vehicle count. Once there are more vehicles in a mission, you start to be able to do more appropriate tactics, especially for the Pact side. And the kind of quantity versus quality thing and the way that they arrange their like different waves of forces and staged attacks, that can start to nice. Actually make an appearance. There's a lot, like, we've done tons and tons of research, and we know that what we have in the game right now is not reflective of reality so much as far as the tactical layer, but that will eventually change.
That is interesting. Like, specific types of missions for the specific sides, as in like and different conditions, different mission objectives. Yeah, sounds very fun. Thank you for answering.
Yeah, no problem.
Heck yeah.
All right, we're coming up on my time, 2 o'clock. So anyone who's got last minute questions, go ahead and request to speak now. I'll probably wrap it up in a few minutes to make up for starting 5 minutes late or whatever. Next up is Kaiser something something. Didn't catch your name. Several words.
There we go. Buttons are hard.
Hey.
So, quick question, since we're getting more audio, will there be, like, ambient, like, crew dialogue between different tanks, or anything like communication during a, like, a fight between different tank units?
Earlier in the Q&A, we did mention that we were thinking about eventually maybe adding chatter, but we're not sure. As far as between tanks, though, we have some extra voice lines recorded, especially for US, that has a more complete voice set right now, regarding like passing on information about stuff being spotted or requesting support, stuff like that. So there is a strong likelihood that there will eventually be radio chatter related to communicating about the battlefield, not just inter-crew communication for fire commands.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
I think we kind of need that, or are going to need it eventually, because as you, like, if we do end up doing things like more like in-depth interaction with the rest of the platoon and everything, it's going to be, we're going to need to somehow convey the state of the AI to the player so they know what's going on a bit more.
Yeah, there's a bit of a
thing I want to say is
good.
I just want to say the last thing is that this update is amazing, and I was utterly shocked about what we got, and thank you, you guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
I wanted to extend on something. Oh yeah. We have a bit of a user experience, a UX issue as far as like understanding what's going on with the AI, because there's this balance that you have to hit, right, between making it realistic and you know, limiting what you're aware of for the sake of immersion, versus communicating what's going on so that people don't get lost. An example is the mark that we added to the compass recently, or in this update actually, that shows when you have a target spotted by a commander, it shows the exact bearing. It's a little hard to make out on the small compass, but it's in the right position. Obviously there's no magic mark in real life when you have a target spotted, and you'd be listening to your commander tell you about it. But in the game, you don't have the ability for the commander to describe in great detail what's going on. Like, oh, he's right there next to the barn. You know, like, we don't have that stuff. So there's this compromise, right, where you just show, you indicate in the game by some other means to fill in the information gap so that the result is more correct. The fact that you see a symbol on your compass is unrealistic, but the fact that you can tell where the target is more realistic. It's kind of it's sort of a funny opposite effect. Sometimes you have to fake it more to make it more real. I don't know.
Maybe it's kind of why, like, games like the Metal Gear series or whatever, right? Their AI is, it's not like dumb, but it's there's nothing special going on there. But it feels like a lot more is going on, because they basically tell you what part of the AI routine they're running at that point. And you can learn, like, if you know more about what the AI is thinking, so to speak, you can sort of have a bit more of a model of, like, what observations they're working from and what assumptions they're working from. And they seem more intelligent, even if their routines are they're nothing complicated. Conversely, something like Armor, I guess maybe Armor 2 is probably a better example than Armor 3, but like the Armor 2 AI had all this shit going on, but they were so, well, they could speak, but they couldn't really communicate really what their state was, and they seemed very dumb and did things that, I don't know, most people seem to have a similar experience where the difficulty of playing Armor 2 was the AI was a bit aimbotty, more so than they actually outsmarted you or anything like that.
Yeah, it's an issue of telegraphing what's going on in a way that the player will appreciate it. Like Fear, the game Fear, the first person shooter horror game, one very good game, by the way, you guys should try it. It was commonly praised for having really good AI. And it does have good AI. It's nothing special anymore, because it's kind of been done many times by now. But They did do some cool tactics. They would flank you, they would respond to stimuli, but it wasn't that complicated. What they did, though, that made it memorable was they had the guys, the soldiers that were hunting you, they would just yell out whatever was going on. Like, you know, go over there, I'll cover, or flashlight, he's over there. You know, it's like they would just say exactly what they were thinking at every time. And so as a player, you would understand, oh shit, these guys are actually reacting to what's going on, that they're really smart. Whereas in Arma, just like Harry said, like there's not that many ways for them to telegraph what's going on. So even though there's a pretty sophisticated AI system under the hood, if you don't understand what it's doing and it doesn't really produce the results you expect, it just looks like they're really dumb. That's kind of a classic problem of conveying information properly. I mean, we have that whole flammable system in the game that determines like how fast things cook off and when sympathetic detonations happen based on the shock waves and the oxygen level and all that. If we didn't have good VFX to convey what was happening, that would be all like hidden and lost, and people would just be like, oh yeah, like the turret pops at a random time after you shoot the tank. You know, that there would be no way to tell. It's all, it's a pretty intricate balance to hit.
Conversely, I'm pretty sure I've heard more than one occasion where people think we're simulating certain things that we aren't just because we telegraph as if we are.
Oh yeah, that's true. I remember you telling me about a stream. Someone said on a stream something that wasn't true. It was like more detailed than we actually had. Yeah, I don't remember the specific one either. I remember seeing what you're talking about though. Yeah, I take that as a compliment when people think that we're simulating more than we are, because that means that we've hit the feel of it pretty well.
And then we don't have to write it. It already feels like it's there.
True.
A lot of the more deep system stuff, like if you did just go and replace a lot of it with RNG, most people wouldn't be able to tell. Like, it's pretty, I don't know.
Yeah, some stuff we have to simulate because we've shown in detail. Like, what's the example we debate about sometimes? The carousel.
The carousel, the
T-72. I maintain that the fact that we have a detailed AAR means that you have to have the correct rounds react. I just shot a round through that AG warhead and it didn't blow up. What the hell?
And you'd never know this other than from the AAR. So.
Yes, so if there was no AAR, we could definitely just randomize carousel hits and not even have individual ammo pieces. But since we do, I mean, it depends what information you convey, I guess. It's all contextual.
So you're saying we create our own suffering, is that right?
Essentially. Oh, I created it before you guys
came
on the project.
You create suffering for us.
G already had individual carousel pieces, and by the time the Gunner Heat PC team became a thing, it was already cursed. Just have a Sims mood icon above each tank, yeah, great. Guys, you have to buy the new stuff pack to get the new icon for your BMP. Sorry, that's $7.
This is how we do it.
Plumb Bob, you noob.
It is called the Plumb Bob, yeah. Also, if you don't download Seasons, you won't be able to give gifts to other tankers. I don't know, don't get me started on a rant about The Sims.
Someone's okay. Just watched Izzy's video.
Yeah, but I also played a fuck ton of Sims 4, so...
An obscene amount of Sims.
Also, Izzy is goated. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. We're a little past 2 now. Thanks everyone for coming. We will be doing this again in a month, as we always do. Tell your friends. Thanks for the support. And catch you around.
Bye-bye.